I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Just right where you are, will you just close your eyes, bow your head? I remember in the first week when they announced the quarantine, I was a little bit just taken back. I remember the first couple of days just sort of walking around in the haze, like, how, God, and why? And I remember just looking at scripture and remembering the Lord, and as I was spending just that first week with Him, He just reminded me, and as Victor was singing the song, it just reminds me that it's all been about Him. And you might have set goals and vision, and I know for my life personally, I've set goals and vision for my life and purpose for 2020, and it seems like all of that is just out of the water now. All of that, it just seems like, has fallen to the wayside, and sometimes I think that's what God wants. He wants us just to come back to the heart of worship. Not to the lights, not to the show, not to planning your own dreams and your own vacations and your old plans and your old programs. God just says, just come back to me. And maybe you've been far away from the Lord, and maybe God is just crying out to you, come back to me. Maybe other things have taken the place. Maybe it's been games or sports or family or friends. Maybe it's been a job and God is just saying, come back to me. I remember whenever Matt Redman wrote this song in the 90s, and I remember being so convicted by this song that I've made it into something that it was never supposed to be. All of my life was meant to be lived for the glory of the Lord. Today, maybe God is just calling you back to Him, reminding you of who He is. And today, would you just say, Lord, I'm yours. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. And maybe in your living room, you would just kneel down before the King. Maybe you would just remind yourself, maybe you've been away from the Lord for a long time. And after days and weeks of quarantine, He's saying, come back to me, child. I've been waiting on you to make it all about me. This is just a time of repentance, a time of confessing and saying to the Lord, He's in this place. Can you just sing that with us?
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
God, we repent before you. God, we repent and we raise our hands. God, we bow our knees. God, for every time that we've made it something else. God, for every time that we've pushed our agenda instead of pushing the agenda of our Lord. God, for every time that something else has gotten in the way of your presence, God, we repent. And God, today we say, bring us back to the King. God, renew our relationship with you, God, during this time. God, that we would not put this time to waste. Instead, God, that we would spend time valuing you. God, valuing your glory. revaluing who you are. And God, today, Lord God, we just ask, God, that you would create in us a clean heart. God, renew a steadfast spirit in our hearts. God, we pray that you would cleanse us from all ungodliness. And God, today, as we, God, hear your word, God, that you would create in us a hunger for the word, just like the prophet Jeremiah, who said, God, I have to eat your word. God, I have to know your words. God, I pray that you would ignite in us a fire again. And God, that we would come back to the presence of the Lord, God, in our personal lives, God, in the life of our family and our community, and God, in our nation, God, that we would return to you. God, I thank you that you're a good God. And God, you don't treat us as our sins deserve, but you say, just come back and worship the Lord. And God, today we choose to do that in our life. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor and all the glory for what you're going to do in this place. And everyone said, amen and amen. Would you give them a round of praise wherever you are? And would you just lift up the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus in this place? Just going to welcome up our pastor, Pastor Ted, as he finishes out the sermon series on Elijah. Maybe comment a sense of love or share this post as you're listening. Take out your Bibles. I know we're going to be in the book of 1 Kings. And let's just spend some time hearing from the Lord in Jesus' name. And we say amen.
Amen. Awesome time of worship this morning. We are so glad that you're joining us via Facebook Live. And again, we look forward to the day when we can once again just come together in the house of God and worship with one another. But till then, we're just going to keep on doing what we are able to do. And so we do thank God for the resources to be able to do this. And so we, like my wife said, we've been studying the man Elijah. And what a powerful series it's been so far. We could have never anticipated that it would have lined up with the details of our life in such a great way. We never planned for it to be like that. It just so happened. That's the way it fell out. But we believe that God is speaking through the man Elijah, and that he would speak into our lives even this morning. So I'm just going to pray again. Lord, would you be with me as I speak, God, that I would hear your voice and deliver your message according to your word. Lord, let it be relevant to our lives this morning. And Lord, let your anointing come and break the yokes of our lives and set us free, Lord God. And Lord, that we would learn what it means to leave a godly legacy behind. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so the title of this one is, When This Is Over, What Will Last? When this is over, what will last? Are we building things that are going to last for eternity? Or are we just leaving behind material things like possessions, cars, money, houses, and those sorts of things? Or are we going to leave behind something that's going to last eternal? Or are we going to leave behind a godly legacy? And so just to kind of recap what we talked about last week, the man Elijah found himself in a place that was unfamiliar to the man of God. He was in a place of depression. He came to be about because the wicked queen Jezebel, after Elijah had all the prophets of Baal executed, Jezebel was not very happy with the man Elijah. And so she sends out this death threat towards the man. And so Elijah's on the run, and he's hiding in the caves. And he's just really in a time of discouragement and really depressed, as my wife talked about last week. And so the Lord was not going to allow him to stay in that state of depression. He was not going to allow him to stay there and wallow in his feelings, because the Lord had a plan for Elijah. So the Lord sends his angel to come and minister to Elijah, and he tells Elijah, rise up, get up, and eat. And then he also gives him this mission. He says, hey, look, I want you, I'm not done with you, Elijah. There are still some things I need for you to do. And so we pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 through 16. And if you could open your Bibles there, that would be awesome. We're going to read it together. It says, and the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. So Elijah has three things that he needs to do. He needs to anoint King Hazael over Syria. He needs to anoint King Jehu as king over Israel, and he needs to anoint the prophet Elisha as prophet, but not just any prophet, a prophet that will take Elijah's place. And so while the first two might seem like a pretty easy task, to anoint a king back in those days, if you think of how Samuel anointed King Saul, and how he first of all, he prayed to the Lord and asked who it is that shall be king. And whenever it was determined that Saul should be king, then the prophet Samuel went to Saul and poured the oil on top of his head. And that symbolized the anointing of God that was just going to be upon the man Saul. And then he reaffirmed Saul, hey, look, you are the king. You are the one chosen for the job. And then after that, he puts King Saul in front of all Israel and says, this is your king. You wanted a king. This is your king. And so he declares to the nation of Israel, Saul is king. So it seems like a pretty easy task to anoint the first two kings. But then to anoint Elisha as prophet will require more than just pouring a flask of oil on top of the man's head. In order for Elisha to take Elijah's place, that meant that Elijah had to invest into the man of God. He had to invest into Elisha, and he had to instill into Elisha that which has been instilled into him. And so that would take a little bit more. So what if the Lord asked you to raise up your replacement? So how would that make you feel? Perhaps you're on the job and your boss tells you, hey, I need you to raise up this guy and he's going to take your place. Many of us might respond with jealousy, like, God, I've worked all my life to get to this position and now you're asking me to entrust it to someone else. That's how King Saul was. Whenever David was to take over, he was so overruled by jealousy that he allowed hatred to come into his heart, and he even sent out to kill King David. So will we respond with jealousy as King Saul did, or will we say, hey, you know what? The Lord, his plan is greater than just me. It's about his kingdom, and if he wants to raise someone up that's going to continue the work that I started, then so be it. In fact, if you remember, Elijah was in a place where he was like, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I'm calling it quits. He even asked the Lord to take him out. He said, God, I just can't take it anymore. So I think Elijah was so far removed from being jealous that he was like, hey, God, I'm just so glad that you've raised up someone who's going to continue the work that you started in me. And that same passion, that same zeal that I have, that he's going to have. And that just as I confronted the wickedness of King Ahab and the idolatry of Israel, that this man is going to do the same thing. So I believe that Elijah would have been comforted by this message. So then we continue. In verse 19, it says, so he departed there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. One thing about, if we're going to leave something that's going to be lasting, if we're going to leave a godly legacy, as we mentioned, then we need to leave a godly legacy by first setting the example. Elijah, his life was marked by obedience. In other words, everything that the Lord had asked him to do, Elijah was obedient to that. He was a perfect example. He didn't only talk the talk, but he walked the walk, so to speak. So he was a great example. It says in verse 19 again, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Because of Elijah's excellent example, the man Elijah would not leave Elijah's side. He said, man, there's something about this guy. There's something about this man named Elijah. The Spirit of God is obviously upon him. And whatever he has, I want that. And I want it even to a greater level. He was authentic. Verse 19, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Look at this, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. So what does that mean? Elisha, whenever Elijah found Elisha, that he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. In other words, there were 12 teams of oxen, and as my wife talked about being yoked before, you guys had the picture of a yoke, and two oxen were tied together, and there would be one guy, one person driving those two oxen. So there were 12 teams of two oxen and one person, and Elisha is found to be with the 12th team, plowing the field, working diligently with what has been given to him, the tools and the resources that was at his hand. He was working diligently in the field, plowing. And let me just tell you something, that God is able to use someone who is willing to put their hand to the plow and get a little dirty. God is willing to use someone who is diligent in their work and who is using their resources and their abilities and their talents for his glory. God is willing to use someone like that. And so I would say, even by, if we're to leave a godly legacy behind, that we are to invest into people who are willing to work diligently with the giftings and the talents that have been entrusted to them. You know, that you can spend your time talking to people and telling them about the Lord, but if their hearts are hardened, if they're stubborn, if they refuse to listen, if they refuse godly counsel, and they just continue to walk down their own path, then it's, so at some point you have to say, you know what, it's time to move on. I believe it was time for Elijah to move on from Ahab and to find a man, Elisha, who was diligently plowing the field, using his hands to plow the field and to be at work. And so leave a godly legacy by discipling diligent people. Who are you investing into? Are they taking your advice? Are they running with it? Are they applying the scriptures to their life? Those are the people that you want to invest in. Those are the people that you want to disciple and mentor. And so perhaps that word disciple scares you a little bit. What does that mean? That basically means that you're going to teach someone else what God has taught you already in your life, that you're going to come alongside of them and that you're going to help them fulfill the purpose of God that they have for their life. So that word disciple just means, hey, look, you're going to teach someone. You're going to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And right now, that might be hard to do, or it might be easy to do. If you're like me, you have a bunch of kids, and so your kids are the ones that you are to pour into and that you are to teach them. In fact, every night when we have our time together at 7, you know, my kids are right there in the living room. They're singing their little hearts out. They're raising their hands. They're worshiping the Lord. You know, we tried as best as we can to put God first. And so my disciples, so to speak, right now are my children. And so I'm pouring life into them. Even if I don't see diligence, I can train diligence because they are my children. I can teach them how to be a hard worker, and I can teach them to be diligent with the talents and abilities that God has given them because they are underneath my care. And so, but what about, you know, maybe you're isolated from society. You can text someone. You can begin to talk to someone. You can begin to write a letter or call someone to make sure that they are growing in the Lord and that you are investing that life into someone else. And that you would invest, don't waste your time on people who are stubborn and rebellious, but those who are earnestly seeking, those who are wanting change, those who are going after God, that you would take the time to invest into their lives. It says this, Elijah passed by him. He simply passed by the man Elisha, and he cast his cloak upon him. And he, get this, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow you." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. So Elijah did something that was so remarkable. He says, "Hey, look, this is what I've been accustomed to. Working and plowing the field, working the 12th team of oxen." And by the way, if you have 12 teams of oxen, that meant that you were pretty wealthy as a family. And so for Elijah just to say, "Hey, you know what? I consider this all dung," as Paul would say, to follow after God, to follow after the calling that God has in my life. I'm willing to abandon it all. I'm willing to not only abandon it, but hey, look, I'm gonna make sure that I don't even have a way to get back to it. I'm burning the yoke that tied these oxen together. I'm sacrificing the meat of these oxen so that I never return to that, because God has a calling upon my life. And I can relate to that to some degree, because God has asked me to do the same thing with my 3D designing career. God asked me to lay that down, to burn it, and to keep on going for the Lord. And so sometimes God will ask you to do some incredible, hard, and difficult things. But if you're willing to be obedient, God is going to bless you, and he's going to be with you each and every step of the way. And so Elijah, he abandons everything to follow the man of God, Elijah. What an incredible thing. And so as they continue on their walk, Elijah just simply said to Elisha, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Isn't that the same thing that Jesus said? He says to the 12 disciples individually, come and follow me. And they didn't know what they were getting into, but they, one by one, they picked up what they were doing. They left occupations, they left family to follow after God, to follow after Jesus. So this is where our man Elisha is at. Now we want to fast forward a little bit. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. Because one of the last things that we see, if we're going to leave a godly legacy, is that, yes, we are to disciple those who are diligent workers. And yes, we are to set the example. But if we're going to leave a godly legacy that is lasting beyond our years, we need to begin to empower others. So look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. It says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And so Elisha had seen Elijah do incredible things. Oh, just by the way, to help you understand distinguish the two, Elijah, you have a J. J comes before the S, all right? So Elijah came before the Elisha. I always find that to be very helpful in my life. But whenever Elijah did crossed over, he tells him, say, man, look, you've been so faithful, Elisha. You have followed me from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho, to the Jordan. Ask me whatever it is that you want, and if it's in my ability, I will give it to you. Elijah did something that probably took Elijah by surprise, because Elijah asked for something that Elijah could not give to Elisha. He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. In other words, it wasn't really his spirit, it was the spirit of God that was upon him. Elijah is saying, hey, if I'm going to be your replacement, if I'm going to be the man of God for the job to finish what you started, I need a double portion of what you have. I need a double portion of the Spirit of God upon my life. And Elijah says, all right, you will have it. And so he knew this by faith, that God had originally said to Elijah that Elisha is the man for the job. Elisha is the one who's going to take your place. Elisha is the one through whom your legacy will continue, Elijah. In fact, it was the man Elisha who would anoint King Jehu as the king of Israel. Remember, that was supposed to be Elijah's job? But then Elijah is really the one who's going to do it. But what's so significant about that is because Jehu, as he was king, he began to wipe out all of Ahab's family, all of Jezebel. He kills Jezebel and kills all of those family members. Why? Because to avenge the blood of the prophets that they had spilled, that they had killed. And so the Lord raises up Jehu, but he raises up Elisha to anoint Jehu to clear the land, to purge the land of their idolatry. This all came because Elijah empowered Elisha to do so. Verse 14, it says, then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the waters poured it to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. In other words, the work that Elijah begun would continue through the man Elisha. So I would ask, whenever it's all said and done, what will last? What will be standing? If you knew that you were about to be taken to heaven, as Elijah knew that he was about to be taken to heaven, what truths would you instill into someone else? What would you pour into? How would you speak life? What would you impart to leave behind a godly legacy to impact others? Second question, who would you impart those valuable truths to? Who would you find to be trustworthy? Who would you find to be a diligent worker? So we talked about leaving a legacy by setting the example. Are you setting a good example right now? Think about how you're handling the quarantine situation. You have people watching you, people from the world, maybe people on the inside. Maybe you have children who are watching you. How will you respond to this crisis? Will you live as though that there is no hope? Will you live as though that you're defeated? Will you live as though that it's the end? Or will you say, you know what? I know what it looks like on the outside, but I'm going to let hope arise. I'm going to set the example and put my hope in God because I am not defeated as long as He is still on the throne. Then I am victorious because Christ is in me. What kind of example are you setting to those who are watching you during this crisis right now? We talked about leaving a godly legacy by discipling diligent people. So who are you pouring into right now? Who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Are they taking the truths that you have spoken? Are they taking the godly counsel that you have given them? Are they applying it to their lives? Or are you just wasting your time? Is it time to move on from Ahab to Elisha? And thirdly, we leave a godly legacy by empowering others. You know, Jesus did the same thing to his disciples. He empowered them. Whenever he has the 72, he sends them out. He says, I am releasing you to go and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall lay hands and cast out demons and they shall be gone. In other words, Jesus empowered his disciples. And so I would ask the question, are we empowering others with that same type of faith and that same type of belief that whenever they lay hands on the sick that they shall recover as well? It's not something special about us, but it's, are we empowering others to move in the power of God? Are we empowering others to raise them up, to pray powerful prayers, to combat the forces of darkness, to combat sin and lust and greed and adultery and all these things? Are we empowering others to become witnesses? When it's all over, what will you leave behind that will last? As I ask this question, I ask that you would examine your lives. You know, it's one thing to leave behind a godly inheritance, you know, like with possessions. There's nothing wrong with that. But what will be lasting is the impact that you have on others for the kingdom of God. Whenever we are in heaven and we're standing before the Lord, I'm hoping that there will be an army of people behind me because I took the time to invest into them. I took the time to tell them about Jesus, and they told someone else about Jesus, and they told someone else about Jesus. I'm hoping to see a sea of people because I want to leave a godly legacy. I want to leave behind something that is real and authentic. I want to leave behind not just material possessions, but I want people to know Christ. Because that is what is eternal. Knowing Christ is everything. Material possessions will fade and they will burn. They will be destroyed by rust and moth. But what we do for Christ, in fact, the Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor dust corrupt, but where thieves do not break in and steal. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Invest into those who are around you. Use this time of quarantine to really make disciples. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we're just so humbled by your word. We thank you for your presence, God, in this place, reaching out over Facebook and reaching into every single home who is watching right now. And God, we want to be a people who leave behind a godly legacy. We want to be like the man Elijah and pass on the baton, Lord, to those who will be diligent workers. We want to set the example ourselves. We don't want to be hypocritical, Lord. If we're going to say we believe in faith, God, let our actions look like our words. And Lord, we will empower others, Lord God, with the power of God that you have given us. Lord, to go to lay hands on the sick, that they will recover, to cast out demons in your name, to drive out spiritual darkness, God, we just ask, Lord, for releasing of your power right now in the name of Jesus. God, that every single person watching, Lord, would just rise up, Lord, with the power of God, and that they too, Lord, would begin to walk in the power that you would have for them, Lord. Lord, that they would begin to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That they will cast out demons and that they will operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray for each and every person during this time, Lord, that you will be their strength. Teach us, Lord, to mind things that are eternally minded. Lord, to not mind things of this world that just corrupt and that just destroy. But Lord, help us, Lord, to build treasures in heaven. We thank you. God, I just pray for your people. Just encourage them, Lord, during this week. Give them strength. God, I just release your spirit. God, give them strength, supernatural strength right now in Jesus' mighty name. Healing right now for all those who are sick and afflicted. I declare healing right now in the name of Jesus. I declare strength. I declare peace of mind in Jesus' name. Every demon must go. Every attempt that the enemy will have over our lives to destroy us, we say that the Lord will turn those things around to bless us in the name of Jesus. I declare a blessing and not a cursing over God's people. Lord, a protection over their lives and over their families and over this church and over this city, over this state right now. We pray for our governing officials, those who are in position, Lord, to make, Lord, these calls, that you would guard them and guide them. We pray for our medical workers, Lord, those who are laboring in the hospitals. Lord, you will be their strength, oh God, that you will protect them, Lord, from this virus. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you and give you all the praise. Lord, we are not defeated. We don't walk as though we have no hope, but our hope is found in you, oh God. We thank you for all that you have done in this place. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.